Our scripture reading comes from the second chapter of Luke. It is a continuation of the birth narrative because it talks about the infant Jesus and some of the things that happened to him. Listen for God's word. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him, that's Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the light, by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to his mother Mary, "The child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. During Advent and Christmas, we spend a lot of time talking about watching and waiting. Having recently experienced the birth of a grandson, I have a renewed understanding of what it means to watch and wait for a baby to be born. Unfortunately, today, watching and waiting has become a passive image. We watch TV. We go to the theater and wait to watch the movie. The images of watching and waiting don't carry the same meaning they once did. We too often watch and wait passively for something outside of us to occur. In reality, we all know waiting for a baby to be born involves work and preparation. Which is why I find Corey Patterson's reflection on hunting a helpful corrective to our passive ideas of watching and waiting. Patterson grew up in rural Georgia, hunting on the family farm. He remembers around Thanksgiving, they would wake up early before sunrise and hike into the woods. In Corey's memory, those hunting trips with his dad were special. The air was crisp, the crickets were chirping, the moonlight came through the tall pines, the nature that was on display was full of wonder and beauty. Patterson says that's where he fell in love with the outdoors. And even though he didn't fall in love with hunting, he learned the process of hunting. He learned to be quiet so as to avoid disturbing the cows in the pasture when they passed through. He learned to do the hard work of climbing into a tree stand with a full pack in the dark. He learned how to hunt. He came to understand that it involved some watching and waiting, but it wasn't all passive. He says those lessons have become important in a lifetime of hunting for God. Now, Patterson acknowledges that some people seem to find God easily. God seems to appear whenever and wherever they look. But for him, it wasn't so simple. Faced with the anxieties of life, the uncertainty of the future, the reality of broken relationships, God's presence was not always obvious as he grew into adulthood. When he discovered he needed God in his life, he began to apply the lessons he had learned hunting with his father. He was cautious at first about approaching God. He didn't want to scare away the divine presence. He put out bait, trying to attract God by being good. Finally, he called out to God the way a hunter might use a turkey call. But like hunting, the results were not immediate. Still, over time, he began to find tracks, catch glimpses of the presence of God in his life. Eventually, Patterson says, he found the sacred presence of God all around him. God was present in the trees where he had walked as a boy. God was present in the broken relationships that began to heal. God was present in the peace and joy that replaced his loneliness and his anxiety during the difficult times of life. Most of all, God was present as one who wanted to be found, who came to him as much as he hunted God down. Our ideas of watching and waiting can give us the impression that the life of faith is passive. We just sit and wait for God to find us. That's why you're here, right? You're just here waiting for God to find you and discover that you've come to church today. In contrast, one writer says that Simeon and Anna were more like someone watching and waiting for a special dinner guest to arrive. There's much to be done. Our welcome requires preparation, even as we await a gracious arrival. Consider the gospel story for a moment. Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Firstborn sons belong to the Lord from the time of the Exodus in Egypt. Sons were to be presented and redeemed by making an offering. Luke tells us this was to fulfill the law. Interestingly, the offering of birds indicated to everyone in the temple that Mary and Joseph were poor. They couldn't afford the lamb. Yet Simeon and Anna saw past the appearances. They appear in the temple like two ancient characters out of the Old Testament, similar to John the Baptist. Simeon is a tzaddik, a righteous man. He has given his life to wait and watch for the consolation of Israel, promised by the prophet Isaiah. He has learned to hunt. He perceives the presence of the Spirit of the Lord and follows the Spirit, leading all the way into the temple where he finds the parents of Jesus fulfilling the righteousness of the law. He takes the child into his arms, now at least 6 weeks old, and he sees in Jesus the gracious gift of God's promise, peace. Peace in the face of Rome's oppression, redemption from the child who had to be redeemed by an offering, light for the world, which was sure to be opposed. Such redemption means change. Every change, even good change, is bound to face resistance. Try keeping your best New Year's resolution. And you know what I mean. Even good change faces resistance. Anna was also watching and waiting. Her hunting for the presence of God was so intense that at the age of 84, she no longer left the temple. It was like living in the forest, in the tree stand. She was not going to miss seeing God's redemption when it came. And then they both have the same reaction. They praise God and they tell the good news of God's redemption being present in this moment, in this child. To emphasize the point, one writer says, Anna and Simeon were not waiting because they had nothing else to do. They waited. They waited because they had hope. Their waiting had purpose. They worked and worshiped and performed acts of justice and prayer. While they waited, they defied the darkness of the world by serving God, because it was for the light of God that they waited. They watched, they waited, and they hunted for the light. Earlier this year, I heard the story of someone among us who watches and waits for opportunities to serve God. He considers himself fortunate, so when he receives a cash gift, he puts it in his pocket to re-gift it. And in his family, he typically gets 50s on his birthday. He's careful about those who are constantly panhandling in the community, he says. He doesn't want to encourage that, but he does want to encourage people in their lives. He wants to share the goodness that he has received and give hope to others. So he hunts. He hunts for the opportunity to give out 50s. He watches for the down and out. not the person with their hand out. He looks for the sad and the poor, the ones who, like Mary and Joseph, could only afford the offering of poverty. And then he approaches them. He doesn't wait. He's hunting. There was a man sitting alone, head down on a park bench in the cold, who wasn't making eye contact. There was a young mother who worked at the movie theater who always greeted him with a smile. There was a woman at Walmart who was so astonished that she asked if he wanted her to make change. 50. I do not know where you will encounter the redemptive power of God's presence in the coming year. I only hope that you will. Maybe it will be in a baby or in a young child. Maybe it will be in an unexpected act of kindness. Maybe it will be while worshiping and praising God. But I encourage you not to simply wait on faith like you would sit in a movie theater. Do some hunting in the new year. Be on the lookout for God's redemptive presence in the world, and then tell about it. I will be praying that you find it. Thanks be to God. Amen.